Who would have thunk it? I mean, I'm a bus kid. I don't know if Donna and Kathy King realized when they gave of their Saturday to knock on that door, 3650 Ruth Drive, what a difference that one Saturday of bus calling. They were out helping their brother, Ken King, start a church in our area. And so they gave of their busy schedule to just go out and invite people to ride the church bus. They came to our house, 3650 Roof Drive, knocked on our door. My older brother, Chris, he answered the door. These were two pretty college-age girls. That got his attention real quick. They invited him to come to church and ride the bus. My brother wasn't stupid. He's looking at those pretty college girls, and he thought, you know what? I'm going to ride the bus tomorrow to church. Well, I was about 12 years age. I was standing behind my brother, and I thought maybe one of those college-age girls would be interested in me as a 12-year-old, and so I made sure that I rode the bus to church. Boy, can I tell you something? I heard the gospel for the first time. I heard that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that if I would, from a sincere and repentant heart, trust Christ as Savior, He would save me and take me to heaven. Man, I might have been a dumb public school boy, but that was an offer I couldn't pass up. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Can I tell you, as a result of that one visit, my older brother, Chris, trusted Christ as Savior. He was born again. My older sister, Robin, she got saved. She trusted Christ as Savior. I got saved. I trusted Christ as Savior. And my younger brat of a sister, I'm sorry, there I go again. Here I am in public. I'll rephrase that. My sweet younger sister, Tanya, she trusted Christ as Savior. Can I tell you? Thank God for the bus ministry. May I say to everyone who drives a bus, who puts money in the offering plate to keep those buses running, puts money in the offering plate to keep the fuel in those buses, God bless you. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the bus ministry. Thank God for every Sunday school teacher you keep teaching. Thank God for every junior church worker you keep corralling all of those kids. I am thankful for every Sunday school teacher, every junior church worker that sat with me in church. Not because they loved me, because they knew I'd be crawling under every pew, tearing the place up. Thank God for those of you who are investing in others. I can't tell you where every bus kid is today, but I can testify of the grace of God, and I am where I am today because of the bus ministry. Thank God for the bus ministry. I propose this evening that sinners need the Savior. We have a Bible. Those of us who are born again were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go soul winning. Let's go soul winning. Take your Bibles, if you would, this evening. Turn to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. As you're seated there, I am going to read Acts chapter number 8, verses 1 through 4 out loud. I'm going to water my frog before I croak, all right? Acts chapter number 8, beginning at verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Notice this phrase, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The Holy Spirit is going to call upon the services of the physician Luke to record the words of another New Testament book of the Bible. As a Gentile, Luke was the only non-Jewish writer of the New Testament. The book of Acts, it begins with the outpouring of the promised Holy Spirit of God, and then it continues with the Spirit-filled proclamation of the gospel. It's here in the book of Acts that we see the confrontational methods of evangelism, that of going door-to-door soul winning and publicly sharing Jesus Christ in the marketplace. You understand, these were born-again believers who were very vocal and very public about their faith in Jesus Christ. These weren't individuals that were seen building bridges and relationships before they ever talked to somebody about Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus at that initial conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, he talked with her about her need for living water. And can I tell you, that is what we find with the first century church. They were very busy and very vocal about sharing Jesus Christ with others. It's here in the book of Acts that the acts of two men are prominently recorded in the book of Acts, Peter and Paul. We find Peter primarily witnessing to the Jews in chapters 1 through 12. We find Paul witnessing primarily to the Gentiles in chapters 13 through 28. But let me say this, the book of Acts records just one gospel, and Peter and Paul preach that same gospel. It is the sinless life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the full payment of our sin. That's what we read about. Now, in the previous chapter, chapter number 7, it was mostly about Stephen. When we come to where your Bibles are open at chapter number 8, this chapter is mostly about Philip. And so chapter number 8 could be divided in verses 1 through 4. There is the persecution of Philip. In verses 5 through 25, there is the preaching of Philip. And in verses 26 through 40, the personal work of Philip. Now it is that opening sentence of verse number 1 that ties chapter number 8 with what was said at the end of chapter number 7. Your Bibles are open. Verse number 1 reads, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." The central figure in the persecution of Stephen was Saul of Tarsus. Saul, being from the tribe of Benjamin, was probably named after that great king of the Old Testament, Saul. Stephen is stoned, and Saul gave his full approval. Verse 1 continues. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Tertullian was a prolific writer of the 3rd century. Tertullian is credited with saying, and I quote, "The blood of the martyrs has become the seed of the church." The persecution of born-again believers has been rather random up until this time. Peter and John, they're frequently in and out of jail. But it appears as if the persecution climaxes with that first martyr, Stephen. And it's going to be this persecution and Stephen's martyrdom that is going to drive the church from their comfort zone and into Samaria, Judea, Asia Minor, and praise the Lord, eventually even over into Europe. And so verse number 1 concludes, "And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria," here it is, "except the apostles." The last words of verse number 1 indicate that the apostles are courageous and they are going to try to weather the storm there in Jerusalem. These are going to be difficult days for the apostles in Jerusalem. Look, if you would, verses 2 and 3. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. The word there, made havoc, that means he exercised brutality. Hailing there means to physically drag someone, and he's not going to discriminate. He is going to be brutal to both the men and the women according to this passage. And so we transition from the persecution to the preaching. Now it is important for you to see who is where in this text. I believe if you miss who is where in this text, you will miss one of what I believe is one of the most important applications of the text. If I could, please, I'm going to need some help. Can I choose you? Why don't you come on up over here? I'm going to have you stand here, and I'm going to have you represent leadership. Didn't have much. He was just on the front row, all right? He's going to represent leadership, the apostles. I want you to see in this text, it is clear that the apostles are in Jerusalem. Leadership is in Jerusalem. Now that's very important because look at verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Can I do this? May I borrow you, sir? May I? Your wife asked me to do that. She wanted you to stay awake in church tonight, all right? I apologize. I just do what your wife says, okay? I want you to stand. You can stand on the carpet or over here, all right? I don't mind. I'm going to have him represent membership. Leadership, membership. Leadership is in Jerusalem. Verse 4 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. God is going to use persecution as a catalyst for soul winning. But don't miss who is preaching the word everywhere in verse 4. The apostles are in Jerusalem. Who is scattered? Church members. Who's preaching the word everywhere in verse 4? Leadership or membership? Membership. The church membership was scattered, and they are the ones who were busy preaching the word. What I want you to see in the Bible, in the first century church, church members were involved in soul winning. Soul winning is a term that is coined from Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Proverbs 11 and verse 30 reads, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Soul winning is the spirit-led communication of the gospel in such a way that the recipients have a valid opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, whenever I say that soul winning is a spirit-led communication of the gospel, I'm referring to the spirit-led communication of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Any message other than salvation through faith and grace of Christ and His finished work is not the gospel. Any message that stops short of or adds to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is not the gospel. What I want you to see, if there's anything that's more clear than I see in Acts chapter number 8, is this. membership is scattered abroad and they're soul winning. When you read the book of Acts, you know what you see? You see leadership setting the pace, setting the example, and being active soul winners. But you know what you also see whenever you read the book of Acts? It wasn't just leadership who were soul winners, it was membership. We criticize the Catholics for paying their priests to do their praying for them. I'm afraid as Baptists, we think we pay our preacher to do our soul winning for us. That is good. I'll just say amen here. Yeah, man. The first century church had leadership who were soul winners. The first century church had membership who were soul winners. May I say tonight, soul winning is for every blood-bought, born-again child of God. Soul winning is not a spiritual gift. Soul winning is a command. The great command, that great commission of Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, that great command was given to the early church. It wasn't just a command for the apostles. We all are to evangelize. None of us who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God can say, well, that's just not my job. And may I say this, soul winning is individual, it's not institutional. By that I mean, just because you attend or you're a member of a good soul winning church like you have the privilege of attending does not make you a soul winner. You understand, whenever we are called before God, we're called before God as individuals. He doesn't say, everyone that attended the church there in South Haven, I want you to come up together. It doesn't work that way. See, the soul winner's crown of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 19 is presented to individuals, not institutions. See, if you're going to get a soul winner's crown, you've got to go soul winning. If there's anything I notice in here, it says everybody is scattered abroad except the apostles. But those that were scattered abroad, membership, they went everywhere preaching the word. What a great thing whenever leadership sets the standard, sets the example, leads by example in this thing of going soul winning, and then the membership join hands with the preacher, and everybody gets involved in this thing of sharing the gospel with the lost and dying world. Now we begin to understand why in the book of Acts, they're not just adding to the church, they're multiplying. Because it's not just the preacher. Well, that's what we pay the preacher for. No, that's why you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go soul winning. Leadership and membership. Hey, let's schedule a time to go soul winning every week. Most people will not go soul winning on a consistent basis if they have not scheduled a time to go soul winning. Surveys seem to indicate that less than 5% of the church membership has ever personally led a soul to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How sad it would be to live and die and never share the gospel of Christ with someone else. Let's go soul winning. Leadership and membership. Everyone under the banner of soul winning. Hey, participate in the soul winning program of your church. Don't make plans or appointments that will interfere with the soul winning plan, program of the church. Get yourself a Soul Winners New Testament. It has print that's easy enough to read, but it's convenient. You could carry it in a purse. You can carry it in your pocket. You could carry it in a lunchbox at work. And then whenever your church does have organized soul winning, come to soul winning prepared. Have your New Testament. Look sharp. Have fresh breath. And have a smile. A smile will improve your face value. Let's go soul winning. Let's go soul winning. Now, the worst job in... I picked on you enough, all right? Hold on. The worst job in this church ought to be that individual who the pastor has tasked with the responsibility of filling the track rack. I mean, when that person comes to this church after they have set all of it straight and it's all filled and they stand back and it's all straight, neat, they go, wow, that's great. Preacher will be happy. But then we have church services. And then every church member says, man, I'm out of tracks. I'm out of tracks. This week I handed out tracks everywhere I go. When I get to church this week, I got to refill. I got to reload. I can't go out empty. And so every church member comes to church and they make sure they get gospel tracks because everybody they come in contact with that week, they hand them a gospel track. Boy, I tell you, the person that fills a track rack after church, they ought to walk up to you and go, oh, not again. Yes. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about how to lead a soul to Christ. I'm just going to ask some of you to do one thing after the service the rest of your Christian life, and that is this. I want you to be active in handing out gospel tracts. You know, you go to McDonald's, that gum-snapping teenager. Track. Domino's, pizza delivery boy. Track. Everyone that you come across this week has an eternal soul that will spend it in heaven or hell. You've got the answer. I've got the answer. Let's go soul winning. Now, let me show you something. The grumpiest guy in this room, the grumpiest guy in this room will take a track. Watch. Here it is. It worked. Watch this. The ugliest guy in this room will take a track. It worked, brother. Now hold on. Watch this. Young man in a bow tie, would you help me? Would you come here, please? And what's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan, how old are you, Ryan?
Eight.
Eight. Don't listen to him. You know how old you are. Okay. Here's what I want you to do, Ryan. Come here. See that guy with the purple shirt? Give him that. Give him that. Listen to me. How old are you?
Eight.
8 years old. Can I say, we laughed whenever I handed out a track. But an eight-year-old boy just handed out a track. So again, I want you to tell me, why aren't you handing out gospel tracts? We make every excuse in the world why we can't share the Christ that we claim to love. Friend, I'm not asking you to talk. Well, I'm not good at talking. See that fella? Hand it to him. Don't say a word. You don't have to say anything. If an 8-year-old boy can hand out a gospel tract, you can hand out a gospel tract. Can you imagine if at this church, thank you, Ryan, you can sit down. Can you imagine if at this church leadership was active and every person that they had an opportunity just handing out a tract and membership did that? Can I tell you, we could blanket this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ and it wouldn't take long if every one of us just committed to take tracts and hand out at least one tract every day until we came back to church. And then when we came back to church, we refilled and we did that. Friend, that's the answer. That is the biblical model for getting the gospel out. It is leadership and it is membership being busy getting the gospel out. I close with this. I pastored for 13 years just north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I think our Wednesday night service was typical of most. We took prayer requests. I don't know if a Wednesday night went by if a prayer request wasn't given something like this. Preacher, would you have the church pray for my aunt, uncle, whoever their family member was? They live in, and they would name a distant state, and they would say, would you pray that they get saved? Now, what they were actually praying was this. Preacher, would you pray that the Holy Spirit would lead a soul winner by my family member so they could hear the gospel and get saved? I would dare say that somewhere in the United States, a prayer request has gone up like this. Preacher, would you pray for and fill in the blank? And they would say, I have a family member that lives in the greater Memphis area, and they never been saved. Would you pray that they would get saved? You know what they are praying? They are praying, God, send a soul winner from this church across their path so that they'll hear the gospel and they get saved. I'm afraid that people are getting discouraged and angry at God because they think that God has not answered their prayer and their loved one went to hell and God didn't answer their prayer. But God did answer their prayer. He worked in your heart and he told you to witness to that coworker, that friend, and for whatever reason, you never did it. And they never got saved. And they're burning in hell forever and ever. And it's because you didn't do it. It wasn't because God didn't answer their prayer. God laid it upon your heart and you didn't share the gospel. I'm saying, boy, every one of us ought to leave this place realizing it's not just the pastor's job to go soul winning. God saved me so that I could speak up and so that I could share his gospel. And if there's something we see in Acts chapter 8, and that is leadership is there in Jerusalem, and they will turn that place upside down with their doctrine. That's leadership. But those that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Praise God for membership that is involved in soul winning. I want to challenge every child of God to arm yourself with gospel tracts. There are several on the track rack, and hand them out this week. Tell people about Jesus Christ. If you can't talk, tell them, come to church and invite them. I'm telling you, we can turn this area upside down If leadership, deacons, treasurer, trustee, choir members, Sunday school teachers, and membership, we just go soul winning. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Thank you. Thank you. God, there's something convicting about Acts chapter number 8. When I realize it wasn't the apostles, it was a church member like me. Oh God, convict me. Help me to be active in sharing the gospel with a lost and dying world. Surely I can do that because somebody took time to share that gospel with me. Oh, I pray if there's someone here tonight who's never been saved, I pray that tonight that they would let someone show them privately from the Bible how they can be saved. Wouldn't it be a grand thing if tonight someone was saved? For those of us who are saved tonight, Holy Spirit of God, convict us where we fall short. God, I pray that great things will be done for you as people share the gospel like never before at the Clearview Baptist Church. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in this invitation. May people do holy business at an altar as you lead. Work in the invitation, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Heads are bowed.